The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The Irish state collected 106 billion euro in taxes last year. Not 106 million, 106 billion euro. And we've heard recently about the half a billion euro earned in fuel taxes that had yet to be spent. Only yesterday we heard about the bumper carbon tax revenue that will be collected this year. So the big question we're asking today is our tax money being well spent? And I'm joined in the studio by Albert Dolan, who is Fianna Fáil TD for Galway East, and on the line by Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist with the Institute of International and European Affairs and columnist with the Currency. And you're both welcome to the programme. Albert, I'm going to begin with you because you've taken on this project where you're trying to show people exactly how the money is being spent. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, so essentially over the last 2 years, Claire, I've recognised that the spend in this country, and as you highlighted there, there's a huge amount of money coming in, but the spend is increasing at a rapid rate. And when your spend is increasing as a country at such a rate, you can be sure that the government wants to spend money, but how can you ensure that it's being spent properly, spent efficiently, and spent effectively? So we said, well, what gets tracked gets managed. So we set up, myself and Matthew Fenlon set up the public spend tracker. Mm-hmm. And essentially what it does is all of the information that's available on state websites, on state entity websites, we've pulled all of that data together. And just in the last week, we've crossed 100 billion euros worth of spend tracking since the state started publishing purchase orders online. So we're primarily focused on procurement spend. And for anyone listening, procurement spend basically means when the state can't do something itself, it goes out and gets somebody else to do it and we pay them, i.e. building a school or, you know, hiring in advisors or hiring consultants or something like that. That's what public procurement spending is. Mm-hmm. We've tracked 100 billion of it and we're going to use that information to force efficiencies and to bring clarity.
Okay. Because what we're that's key that you say force efficiencies. So you've come at this from a place where you believe the system is not efficient, that there yes. isn't accountability and that there is wastage.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest frustration for somebody listening at home who's working hard, paying tax, the biggest frustration for them is to see money not being spent what they would believe properly. And you have a two-tier system here. You have a civil service who is adamant about following process and making sure that the process is followed. And then you have the public, and the public want to ensure that they are getting value for money. And the questions that the public would ask themselves is, would it have cost me this much if I was to do it? Mm-hmm. And did it need to be done? And that is where the frustration is coming, is that there can be needless spending mm-hmm. and that there can be spending that doesn't make sense. And I think that's why when you talk about the likes of the bike sheds, that really hits home with people.
And I see that you've written a Substack article about this and you have juxtaposed those two questions that the public would say, is this value for money? The civil servant will say, did I follow the processes? Now, they are wildly apart, aren't they? They're completely different questions.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important that us as public representatives, you know, the one thing I will say about the work we've been doing over the last year, we wrote to over 200 state entities and as a result, you know, the Children's Hospital wasn't publishing their spend data online. We got them to do that. The TII was spending billions, not publishing it online. So who was looking at this over the last few years? Mm-hmm. I'm on the Public Accounts Committee. We look at the accounts, we look at the audit report, but we don't get into the nitty gritty of what was achieved. And I think government needs to show the public that we are concerned with function over form. We want to see delivery and we want to see delivery at speed. And I think that's why this work is so critical, because mm-hmm. my belief is that if I was able to make the state just 1% more efficient, we would be able to help a lot more people, because right now the spend growth is growing rapidly and yet people aren't seeing that on the ground and they aren't seeing it in their pockets.
Well, let's bring in Dan on this. And Dan, I know that when the state wastes money, and you suspect that it does it quite a bit, it drives you around the twist, as it does so many people who are listening to this. So do you welcome this project that Albert Dolan has taken on?
Music to my ears, Claire.
Oh, a long time coming.
Oh, it is so good to hear young politicians do exactly what politicians are elected to do, and that is to hold the state to account. You know, the amount of state spending that's happened over since we got out of the recession more than a decade ago has been absolutely phenomenal. We've increased spending pretty much more than any other European country. Now, inevitably, once the fiscal constraints are eased, there's a tendency in the system just to sort of let budget overruns happen. Without impugning politicians and civil servants, you know, you've got to put yourself in their position and say, what are their incentives? It's not their money. So let's take something like public sector pay. You know, no government wants nurses and doctors to go on strike in January. That is a very powerful tool that those workers have. And it is much easier for a government to say, look, let's give them what they want, rather than have a strike and have all this conflict. So the taxpayer is really not considered in this. So just specifically on that area, I think other countries have these mechanisms where they have groups that advise on public sector pay rather than leaving it to politicians and civil servants negotiating directly with unions. I think that would be one area where I think we could emulate best practice in other areas to ensure the taxpayer is considered when the government is negotiating with its own employees.
Yeah, but isn't it fundamentally, like, you can give a few bob to the nurses and to the ambulance staff, but if they feel they're paying, you know, very high taxes and the USC, which has been a huge topic of conversation in recent times as well, and they don't feel they're getting the services in return, that is where the problem lies, isn't it? And politically, that's a problem too.
Yeah, well, then we're on the tax side. And certainly, you know, I've been banging this drum recently. We have some of the highest rates of personal tax in the world. At very low thresholds, somebody earning €44,000, that every, you know, you get a bonus if you're over €44,000, or you do overtime, or you do some work on your own account. The government's taking half of it. Now, that is absolutely absurd. There are only a handful of countries in the world that do that. It is completely disincentivizing for people, for the government to be taking half the money you earn, and that needs to change. So I personally would prefer that we slow down the rate of expenditure growth, cut taxes, and give people more of their money so they can look after themselves.
Mm-hmm. And is that the end game here, Albert, for you, that tax cuts might be possible if we can see where the money is being spent and further controls are put in place?
Well, it's about social fabric as well. It's about trust, and it's about the public trust that us as politicians are holding the system to account, and that the system is playing within the rules, and that the system is efficient. But absolutely, we should be looking for tax cuts in time to come. We should be looking to not have to take as much money off people to deliver public services. And I think that's the real disconnect here, is people have seen the state's income rise and rise and rise, and they don't feel like the services have really kept a pace or improved. But that's why we're in government. We want to see this improved, and we're going to do everything we can to make that happen. And I have to say, when I presented this initially to the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party just over 8 months ago, the response I got was phenomenal from my colleagues. And in fairness, Minister Chambers has been incredibly supportive. He wants to see this happen. He wants to see the efficiencies. And you can see that in the fact that he's not going to let overruns just occur across the state this year. There has to be a change, because the rate of spend has been increasing at a rate that you cannot keep going.
Well, so those moves aren't that popular at cabinet level, because there may be a price to be paid by other departments who are not responsible for overruns that happen in, let's say, education, which is the example that everyone's talking about.
And education is a priority for Fianna Fáil, and it always has been, and it always will be. But it's important to say that at cabinet, you know, they're all in the team together. They're working together, and I think there will be a shared understanding about the fact that, okay, all of their spend is going up this year. The education department had received an additional 10% of spend, right? Mm-hmm. And they still aren't able to meet their obligations. So for the rest of the government, it's not that any of them are going to see cuts. It's just that they won't expand their spend as much as possible. And you know what? That's a good thing, because that means they have to make sure that they actually are efficient with what they spend. And I think it's going to force ministers to look much closer at their individual budgets and their individual departments, and challenge the secretary generals and challenge people in their departments about what really matters, what is going to deliver the best value for our people, and what is going to shift the dial in terms of capital projects that we want to see delivered. Okay. And that's why our focus has primarily been on the public procurement side.
Yeah,
because
just,
if we're going out to companies to get them to do things, we need to make sure that they're doing it well.
But
we need to pay for
outcomes,
not hours.
I had a look at the tool that you put together this morning, and it tells me that a consultant was hired for something, but I don't fully see the picture. Is that a problem with this?
This is the biggest problem. Is I can look at all of the purchase orders that get published on a quarterly basis by all of the state entities. I can see who was paid. I can see how much they were paid, but I cannot tell you what they were paid for or what contract that was connected to. And that's what our legislation aims to do, is to present a golden thread of information from the tender being published to the contract being awarded to the purchase orders to the payments.
So you'd be able to see everything.
So I should be able to, and the public should be able to see contract level performance detail across the state. And that is how we get real accountability, but also the ministers would have real-time information on which contracts are performing and which ones aren't. And it does mean that if we go and we pay some consultant or some advisor millions, as some state departments do, that we can hold them to account and say, OK, you got this amount of money. What did you deliver? And I'm telling you, we have to move towards outcome-driven spend opposed to hours or opposed to that. And in fairness, I don't want to be too hard on our civil service. In fairness to the civil service, when politicians put the guardrails and the rules in place, they play within them. So we need to make sure that we put the correct guardrails in place, and this should be an obligation on them.
As you've said earlier, they're answering a different question. They're answering the question of were the rules followed as opposed to was I getting value for money? Dan, just to get you in on that, that golden thread of information that Albert has just described, that we would have really detailed information on how much consultants were being paid, every line item we would know about it in a procurement contract. Will that work?
Look, the more transparency you have in how taxpayers' money is spent, the more efficiently generally it'll be spent. You know, this information has to be kept for all sorts of reasons. The information is available there. So get it out, allow the public, allow journalists, allow academics access to it. The more people that are able to look at this and scrutinize it, the more that those spending the money will know that they could be pulled up if they're not doing it, not spending it as effectively as possible, not maximizing the outputs. Because in this country, we tend to sort of, a journalist will ask a politician, are you doing enough? Are you spending enough? We tend to ask more about the inputs rather than the outputs. Are you getting more procedures done in hospitals? Are you adding to hospital beds? We need to focus on the outputs rather than the inputs. So this sort of information is really helpful in scrutinizing what happens to taxpayers.
Are we in this place, though, Dan? Is it a symptom of having too much money?
It partially is, Claire. A deputy was about, I think, 8 or 9 years of age when our taxes went up during the crisis and the crash. And, you know, for 18 years, we've had these very high personal income tax rates. And the amount of personal income tax the government's been raising has gone from 15 billion to 45 billion. It's tripled over the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have that amount of money to play with, any government becomes a little flahuluk, and the sort of the constraints ease. So all extra scrutiny matters, particularly at a time when we have income tax and corporation tax rolling into government coffers. They hardly know how to get it out the door again. But it is really important that there's as much scrutiny as possible, because this is money that comes out of people's pockets.
Okay, some listener reaction to this: there's zero accountability when it comes to spending. It doesn't matter how much they waste, because if they run out, they could just hit the taxpayer for more. We hear politicians boasting about how much they're spending like it is a medal of honour, but never seem to have to show how the money is being spent. I work in the private sector, and if we don't meet our budgets, the heat comes on you. Then we have an example from Stradbally in County Leash, where the main street was resurfaced less than 2 years ago and has been dug up twice since. So the new surface is all full of patchwork tarmac and has become uneven again. That is not a good example of public spending. And another: this is Ireland. Nothing is anyone's fault. No one's to blame. No one is taken to task. On to the next disaster and more squandering of taxpayers' money. Do you think, Albert, to finish on this, that this is a symptom of having too much money?
It's like anything. In economics, the more income you have, the more money you end up spending. And it's the same for a government as it is for a business. But there's an interesting point in one of those messages that was made, and this is something that comes back to me a lot, is if you're working in a private business and you wasted a significant amount of money, there would be consequences. And what would happen is to rebuild trust within that organisation, the signing of spend and the signing of thresholds would move up to a higher level of management until such a time as people could be trusted within the organisation again.
And that doesn't happen in the state.
Well, I think that needs to happen. And I think if you look at, you know, the OPW, they, in response to the bike shed, and I apologise to keep going back to it, but they put in place new procedures around any spend up to that amount so that they could sense check it, and that it wasn't just a case of following process, but it's actually, hold on a second, does this make sense? Would this make sense to the mm-hmm. public? And I think every state organisation needs to look through it at that lens.
But you want that to happen before a big mistake is made, clearly. I mean, in that case, that was as a result of what happened. And we want the rules to be in place before we get to that point. I have to leave it there, but thank you so much for being with us. That's Albert Dolan, Fianna Fáil TD, and Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist with the Institute of International and European Affairs.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.